Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord is written in Isaiah chapter 7. And then the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Hebrews chapter 10. "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the Feast of our Lord's Annunciation and Midweek Lent 5 is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, along with a reading from Isaiah chapter 53, specifically verse 8, which will be repeated within please be seated. "Is there no justice in the world?" How often have you said that? You hear stories of criminals who obviously are guilty, but get off on some technicality, and they go free, only to injure more victims. Because of the apathy of society, mainly because of sin, it's those led to be upright and law-abiding citizens that usually get violated in the end. It's because of sin
deathless babies have been and continue to be aborted, like silent lambs led to the slaughter. Those unborn infants are unable to open their mouths to speak, and so few others open their mouths that those speechless are condemned to the slaughter by our own silence. In large cities, victims of crime may scream for help, but their cries are ignored by those who don't want to become involved. In the business world, those who bend the rules and step on those beneath them often do come out on top. And the nice guys usually finish last. Is there no justice in the world? Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God come down from heaven and punish the wicked? He did so in Sodom and Gomorrah. So why doesn't God carry out justice now? Some go so far as to assert there must not be a God, or God must not be good, or God must not care about us. Some propose that God is impotent, not powerful enough to stop evil. That's the answer given by Rabbi Harold Kushner in a book entitled When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Avoid that book. When the truth of God's word, however, opens your eyes to the honest truth about yourselves, you then are brought to confess that you are much more a part of the problem of injustice rather than the solution. Sadly, in this dog-eat-dog world, you are the ones who step on others. You rush to climb to the top of the heap, keep up with the Joneses, put yourselves in financial straits. How often do you turn a deaf ear to others who are in need or ask for help? Sometimes it's even just simple complacency that erases the effort that is needed to help your neighbor. Don't rock the boat. Don't mess things up now. It's all going so smoothly, and I don't want my almighty 401k messed with. That is where my security is. Now, of course, if you don't do those, and apologies to you for, you must be without any blemishes of self. But I know you know differently, thanks to the power of God's word. If God would completely eliminate injustice, yes, who would be a part of that elimination? You would. Yet God desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, for now, God continues to let the world go on, postponing the day of judgment, so that more can be brought to faith in Christ Jesus. For now, God tolerates humanity's injustice and grants time for people to be turned from their or your unjust ways. Judgment day will come, then injustice will be no more. Each person will either be in heaven daily worshiping the Lord, or hell with an undying worm, according to Isaiah chapter 66. The world has suffered injustice ever since Cain murdered Abel. And amongst all of the very apparent injustices that continue to go on today, God has not sat silently by.
nations of the world. It was announced immediately after the fall of mankind, and it's been prophesied from the earliest of times. A virgin was to conceive and bear a son who would bear the sins of the world. The Word of God, through whom all things were made, spoken of for thousands of years before his actual entrance into time. That word was spoken into Mary's ear. And because of God-created faith in the Messiah, she received the promised seed. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Not on December 25th. Christ did not all of a sudden become a viable thing according to man's evaluation at his birth. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, from eternity to be conceived inside Mary, then immediately sought after by evil. God sent his Son to actively live the perfect life in your place, beginning with conception, but eventually, passively, suffering the greatest injustice that the world has ever seen. Now listen to how God works. God is the one who, through that injustice, justifies the ungodly. God works through paradoxes, because it was for all of this injustice that Jesus was sent. It was for all of this injustice that he was conceived. Jesus Christ never rebelled or deviated from his Father's plan. He committed no violence, nor did any deceit come from his mouth. Jesus humbled himself as the silent Lamb of God led to the slaughter. He was spotless, without sin, nor any blemish of any kind. Yet, as the prophecy of Isaiah 53:8 proclaims, he was taken away by oppression and without justice. As Jesus prostrated himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, a riotous mob came with swords and clubs to arrest him. He had never used force to coerce anyone to accompany him. But now the mob bound and forced him to come with them. Jesus could have blown them all away with a word, but he told Peter to put his sword away. Jesus surrendered without a fight, thus fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. The Lord was deprived of justice. He was denied the due process of the law. He endured hurried, makeshift trials before the high priest and the Jewish council, before Pilate, before Herod, then back to Pilate. According to ancient Jewish laws, these trials were unjust for many reasons. Jesus was tried at night before the Passover and in a private home instead of a court of law, and the verdict was reached prematurely. Even the false testimony of the false witnesses against Jesus did not agree. Pilate and Herod together acquitted Jesus a total of 5 times. The fictitious trials of Jesus Christ were a travesty and a miscarriage of justice. Yet the greatest injustice was this: the innocent one voluntarily suffered for the sins of all humanity. But this is why he was sent. It's why he was conceived. It's why he was spoken into Mary's ear.
that's why he's being spoken into your ear right now. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for your sake, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. The wages of sin indeed is death, but in God's economy of grace, it was Jesus Christ who endured that death in your place. He was cut off from the land of the living so that you may have everlasting life through him. His condemnation is your pardon. His judgment is your acquittal. And who will declare his generation? Again, verse from Isaiah 53:8. At the time of Christ's death, perhaps no one imagined that he would have any future or any future followers. Christ's enemies thought that he would be quickly forgotten and that his disciples would disband. Who would want to risk suffering the same kind of unjust fate as Jesus? Yet through all of the unfairness, through all of the injustice done to him, Christ rose from the dead, conquering death, flesh, devil, hell for you. Pentecost came, his disciples spread the word, and on one day 3,000 were baptized into Christ and received the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, the communion of those baptized into Christ's death and resurrection has grown astonishingly ever since by the power of God's living and active word. And you're about to join in with that communion of saints, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, partaking of the glorious injustice that justifies by faith alone. Who will declare his generation? Today, Christ has millions of descendants, those who are begotten by water and the Spirit, given new life by God's holy word and holy sacraments. As the beginning of the Isaiah text proclaims, who has believed our report? Only God knows the full number. So now, when injustice confronts you, either the injustice from others against you or your injustice against others, do not despair. God has done something about it. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Take refuge in the value of God's justice, which condemned the innocent Christ for all the injustices, for your sins, and the sins of the whole world, that you might be justified by faith alone and declared righteous, being his descendants and heirs of life eternal. Is there no justice in the world? Oh, what gracious justice there is through Christ the Crucified for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.